true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okie dokie.
Test.
Desmond, we'd like you to know I spent 45 minutes before these guys got on here trying to get set up for you. Failed miserably. These two got here, and we at least got my headphones paired to Zoom and the computer, but still GarageBand doesn't do it. We spent 27 minutes. So I love you, and I'm sorry for who I am, for what reality is, for my genetics, for my mom, my dad, America. I'm sorry about all the wars we've ever fought and racism and suicide. Sorry about animals that die. It's all my fault. That's my point.
It's funny. That's part of the monologue that the young woman says in the play that I'm understudying right now.
Is what?
I'm sorry I'm who I am. I'm sorry I'm the way I am. I'm sorry that this didn't work out.
Look at me being psychic?
Prescient.
And then my character in the show that I'm rehearsing right now says, I'm sorry about the guns and the cigarettes and the capitalist nature of the world.
Oh, that's such a good line. God damn this play. You had another good line the other day.
Yes, I'm going to fuck you now.
In case you all hadn't figured out, that's Rami, but you knew that. Rami's joined us today for the whole recording session, or at least until they have to leave.
Yeah. Cassidy likes to narrate the obvious. He likes to say the words to describe a thing that's occurring.
Oh, I don't know. I care about our listeners and the fact that they're listening to an audio thing. Oh, my God.
In other words, you care about our listeners you think can't figure out that the person they've heard before named Rami is still Rami?
What about our new listeners?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not even going to respond. I love everything. Everybody's good and I love life. You're generous and that's kind. Cool. We're here and we're stealing Rami's time. So now I'm going to get all focused because I know Rami has to leave in an hour. We have so many things. You guys have so many things I want to talk about now. It's how did I go from like, I don't want to do this podcast anymore. I have nothing to say. I've said it all. People don't care. There's no fucking point anyway. Who gives a fuck? And the world is fucked and I don't want to help anymore. I'm done helping.
Yeah,
nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. There's 1,000 people. It's not 1,000,000 people. It's 1,000 people. I'm out.
Let me just time you out and you're going to hate me for this. But now that we've got all the audio working, your mic is turned up all the way. And it's like, it's probably peaking.
How's this?
Probably better. I don't know.
I don't know which mic to adjust.
Zoom, I guess, at this point.
What do you mean? My laptop?
Go into Zoom settings.
I want to kill myself.
I hate it too, but it's because I care about our listeners and it's really
I hate our listeners. I hate our listeners and Cassidy loves you. Oh, he loves you. Audio settings, input volume. I'm turning it down. It was not all the way up anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But output volume. How's that?
That's pretty good.
Is that tidy?
That's great. That's strange.
Can you say words?
Yeah, these are the words that we're saying.
Can you say more words?
Yeah, this is the words that I'm saying.
Okay, great. Now, how's this for you? How's this, what I'm doing now?
Get hyphy again and start screaming.
Like, it's not sincere anymore.
Now okay. I want to die.
Yeah. Let's do a suicide pact today.
I think it's good enough.
Okay. So anyway, I thought I hated everything and I didn't want to help anyone.
And now you hate it all again because...
Well, now I hate audio problems, but I don't hate humanity as much. So I feel like all of a sudden I have this mojo returned, which is why we're all gathered here. A little bit of mojo. I don't have full Katie Rubin mojo. I know what that feels like. I have an 18th of Katie Rubin mojo, and it's just enough to give just enough fucks to talk about some shit. And now there's so much shit backlogged to talk about that I'm like, God damn it. I didn't even know there was this much shit in the line of succession.
Yeah.
In the channel of things that want to be said. So the reason we have Rami here today, or as well, because Rami's generous and wonderful, but is because I wanted to do another episode. We had stuff we were going to follow up on from last time, which I will briefly answer and talk about, but it's, I think, less interesting than and less important than like what we want to do today, what I'd like to do today, which is open the records and ask some really big questions about like, we on the left of the political spectrum are, a lot of us, pretty worried right now that like the world may explode or like we all have no rights at all. And personally, I go to like, will there be a civil war? Which a lot of like spiritual people, by the way, for 10, 15 years have been saying on the internet. So in 2026, there's a civil war. Oh, so in 2025, there's a civil war. Maybe 2027. And it's because the Donald Trump gets elected again. They've been saying it forever. Then we have what Human Design talks about we've entered the time of tribalism, right? We were leaving the time of collectivism anyway. We've entered the time of tribalism. I feel like, I don't know about if you guys do, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. I look around and I go, yeah, we're in the time of tribalism. Pretty clear. We're like separating in little groups and tribes, and we people are going to hide over here and those people are going to hide over there, and we don't talk to each other. So that could look like secession of California from the country. And it could look like civil war, where somebody goes and shoots Donald Trump in the face, and then some of us are happy and some of us aren't. And we have another problem after that. I don't know. It could look a million ways. And I have enough people in my life concerned in a real way that I was like, how about, you know what the real truth is? I'm going to calm down. The real truth is I have not wanted to ask.
Yeah,
I haven't been ready. No, I've been like, I just settled in. I just stopped moving 800 times. I'm like, I don't want to have to flee to Spain or Iceland. I don't want all my friends to have to hide under a rock. Also, I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to find out, get an answer, and it's wrong. This feels like the riskiest set of questions I've ever tried to ask in the records. Mm. And I feel like with my whole thing in 2020, where I was like, there's going to be shit in California. And I was like, I'm out. And there was not a tidal wave. There was not, I mean, there is now fires that are pretty fucking dramatic. My timeline was not correct. And that was really painful. It was the biggest set of, I don't know how to frame that still to this day, because I tend to be pretty right about stuff. I was like, not accurate. So I'm like, what am I going to, but I feel like I was talking with my non-spiritual boyfriend. I shouldn't say that. He's spiritual in a very different way. And he said, usually I like say things to him like, you know, I do my psychic thing and it's making me feel better because I got this awareness. And he's sort of like, okay, good for you. That's nice. And he doesn't relate or whatever. And we were up in Tahoe and we're talking about all this and he's having a day. He's looking at me like, do we sell the house? Maybe we shouldn't buy any more nice furniture. Like, we should be saving our resources. And I'm like, okay. He goes, have you like asked your people? And I know.
Oh, no.
When the normies start being like, hey, could you tap into whatever you talk to and find out, should we move out of the country or not? Like, yeah, maybe you do it. Anyway. And so I was like, oh, Widow Ewick is scared. And I was like, I care about this man. And then it like started to ripple out and I was like, ah, fuck. And why am I not asking? And then it's like, I didn't want to.
I wonder if part of the problem with like the sort of forecasting is that it's just data without anything to do with it. Whereas when we ask more about like, how do we best deal with XYZ? Then it's like we get information that's something we can do with it.
Okay,
what's going to happen? This is going to happen. Fuck.
I think here's the deal. I don't think so. I think it's more, that's a good idea. That makes sense to me, that line of questioning and thinking. I have a few things to say about this. One is that I shared this with Rami recently, and I've probably talked about this on here before. The way my psychic thing works is I ping off of human beings' awareness. In other words, you're there. And I'm pinging off of you and consciousness talks to me about you. Or I open the Akashic records and I can ping off of more things. But like when we ask about America, I can't ping off of America because America is not like a physical body in front of me that I'm ping, 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 ping back and forth between. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You sort of understand, but not entirely.
Keep talking and see if it lands.
Okay. So the way my psychic awareness works is if I'm talking to Rami, Rami's in class. Let's say I have eight people in Star Beings and we're sitting there and they ask a question. My awareness, my energy field, my psychicness, my whatever you want to call it, it connects with the energy field of the person. That connection is what I'm calling a ping.
Okay.
That connection gets responded to by consciousness. Consciousness says, answers the question. So the client will say, what do I do about this or what's going on? And then I'm suddenly like, oh, I have things to say about that for you from not myself. And it starts to just talk. But there seems to be this triumvirate thing. If there's a connection with a human and my aura is pinging off their aura, if I could just see them, and then consciousness is the third thing, then we can all talk. So that I have a lot of faith in. It's never, I should say, knock wood, thank God, one day at a time so far, pretty accurate. When I open the Akashic records of consciousness or America or all the people or the USA or whatever that is, I'm just straight talking to the field of divine light. I'm not pinging off of, there isn't a third person, a third entity. So part of why I asked Rami to be here today, and I was hoping they could do it, was that if there's a bunch, if there's more of us here, you and you and me, like if we had a room full of 500 people that are representative of America, I think I would get more information from consciousness that was more grounded and specific because it would be responding to the connection between my being and these 500 people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So three people is more than two people. So I was thinking we'd get more of a correct maybe thing. Also, to be honest with you, Rami has a really specific kind of energy field that I've worked with Rami a fair amount as a, just energetically, we've done some work together. Rami's one of the people where it's just like, bing, and I'm in. Yeah. And then it's talking and it's loud and their field is receiving. And even if Rami, the human individuated ego is like, I don't know, feel anything. What are you saying? It doesn't matter because their auric field and their being is so like with me already that like everything's talking to each other and it's moving really quickly. So it's like, I would frame it like Rami's like an excellent conduit for me as a human to have a ping with. It's not dense. It's not slow. It's like light and bright. And there we are. So I figured if we were all here, it might facilitate a more accurate set of responses to big, scary questions that I don't really always want to ask. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay. Cass, are you frozen?
Yeah. No, I'm here. I'm here. Oh, crap. Now I am frozen. It crashed and relaunched. That was great. Yeah. They're trying to stop us today. Is that true?
No. It's, how the fuck do we talk about this? Okay, here. this is right on topic of what I was just saying. Are you there? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll move.
Okay.
I'll do the robot so you know that I'm here.
I was like, he's
every
politely
once in a while, I'll just move my hand.
It's great. I was like, he's politely doing this for a long time. I should probably ask him something.
Well, then we should get into it.
I know. I'm framing what I'm going to say now because it's a little bit not the kindest thing. Consciousness gives me all kinds of information. I don't get to decide. Okay, I'm going to calm down. I'll be straight. You guys ready? I'm going to be straight here. Cass, you're a bit more of a dense field. Okay. Rami's a bit more of a light, bright, open, receptive. There's a receptivity there that Rami just has. They came into this life this way. Nobody's better or worse than anybody else. But when I try to read you, it's slow and heavy and it's hard.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt that that is true.
Okay. I appreciate you. Okay. So sorry. Cause I felt like, how am I going to say that sentence? And then I thank you for receiving it. And I do not hold that as a judgment. I hold it as like, well, you know, a tree is a tree and a river is a river. And is a tree wrong? No. Okay. The point being, if I want to ask these questions, I'd like a Rami present so that I have an opportunity to be pinging off of a third energy that is gonna facilitate something clear.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll dive into it. And gosh, I feel so vulnerable about this. I feel so vulnerable to get into these questions. And I want to just put on the table anything you guys want to ask, let's please do. It doesn't have to just be my questions, you know?
Can I just share something? A message I got this morning.
Yeah.
Actually from Denise saying, waking up, weird sinking feeling about today. Something's going to happen today in America. If you're doing a podcast today, you ask. So interesting, like it's coming through. Something's coming through their field as well. And they are, you know, doing their meditation and automatic writing and stuff. So yeah. It's just interesting that it came up literally this morning.
This is why I'm nervous to get into it. It's like, we're going to see so many things that are so shocking and terrible for a while here. All right. Well, we got to be brave and we got to do it. So I'm asking now, I'm just sitting here asking, who do I tap it? What do I open? Like, do we open the records? Yes. Do we open the records of America? No. Do we open our three people here records? No. Do we open Washington? No. Do we open humanity? Oh boy. Really? That's always very intense. Okay. We open humanity's records. God damn it. All right. That makes me want to cry.
I hate to ask this. Do you open like Trump and Elon's records?
Or? Yeah, that's a no. They're part of humanity, believe it or not. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see if we could get, they're like, you could get information about Trump and Elon through humanity's records. Fuck. All right, then can you please make it tolerable for my body? Because this is hard. Make it so I can read accurately, connect deeply, but also not be tortured. There's a lot of support. Just give me a second. There's a lot of angelic support coming in because they support this line of questioning we have. All right, I'm going to close my eyes and we're going to open the records. Can I also open Cassidy and Rami? No. They're like, you have a task. Let's just do this today. Okay. So we're going to feel into our feet and we'll take a few breaths into our low bellies. Excuse me. All three of us here. Breathing into the low belly and filling it with air. Letting the body sink into the seat we're each in. Letting the shoulders drop. And just doing our best to allow the heart to soften. I mean, and so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of divine light, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. And direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know humanity in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see humanity through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of humanity have for humanity. I'll just go quiet for a second here. Okay, so are we in the Akashic Records of humanity? Yes. Okay, so I'm going to say directly to divine conscious awareness. Let me turn the mic a little bit for one second so that I can be in my weird position. Is there anything else I need to open or connect with? No. Okay. In order to ask the questions? No. Okay. So a lot of us are nervous in a big way that so many things with the current administration, political people in America in charge of a lot of choices. Does either one of you want to start with a question so that I'm not just running this whole thing, or does either of you want to start? Rami and Cassidy?
Not really. I'm kind of just in receptive mode right now.
I can't form questions currently. I'm also pretty blown open, so I don't really have the...
All right.
Sorry.
All right. So a lot of us feel like there's a dictator running our country in a country that's been typically democratic, you know, brokenly so, complicatedly so, imperfectly so, but at least like running under the guise of a democracy. Are we about to lose the entire structure of democracy we've built? No. Well, it sure seemed like it. Like, it seems like he's gone in and his cronies, he's creating, it seems like to me and some of my friends, like he's created an oligarchy and what's it called when you have a dictatorship? And they're giving me no, no, no. So is that what he's trying for? Yes. Is he going to succeed? No. And why is that? How is that the case? I'd like, we could use some being put at ease about that concept because we are so scared about it. They're reminding me, you're connected to the Akashic Records of humanity. Humanity has a lot of, they're showing me the energy of humanity. And humanity is this bright light thing. Okay, but humanity also chose this person. So how are we to trust humanity when this is what we're looking at? Give me a second. Oh man, there's so much. Okay. Okay, so is it like he's going to try to destroy democracy and fail? No. They just keep showing me this light brightness. Okay, that's not really helping me understand, though, how we can relax and trust. So humanity has all this brightness. There's also darkness that takes a hold in, you know, of the amygdala. That doesn't make, you know, better than anyone, just because you feel deeply afraid doesn't make it true. Doesn't make the thing you're afraid that will happen true. Okay, great. And we would even say, remember, there are people on the other side of this political divide who felt this afraid with your previous person in charge, Biden in charge. They were like, wow, the world is ending. The world is ending. Don't mistake a time when humanity, like kindergartners, goes into separate corners to throw separate tantrums as an expression of what the higher frequencies are up to. That is to say, don't use the eye of your eyes to understand what's happening. Use the eye of your awareness. Use the eye of consciousness. Look through the heart and see the bigger picture. Okay, that's what I'm here to try to do today. I'm trying to see the bigger picture so that I can help be a force for reminding folks who are afraid we're all gonna like literally not survive or be safe or have rights or be able to go to the doctor and get prescriptions or like have a Department of Education or Social Security or any of those things. Okay. Huh. Boy, this is So remember that, and then we can ask some more granular questions if we want to, but remember that even when things fall apart structurally, the structures that held together good and bad before, the structures that allowed for some good to occur, aren't the only possible structures through which good can occur. In other words, let's say your system were to collapse, that doesn't mean you never will have what you need. Okay, so, but if we literally, some of us can't get access to like healthcare or equal rights, and we go backwards on the equal rights thing. And then also, if he just like puts his cronies in the DOJ, which is what he did immediately, and like, I don't know, corrupts the highest form of court, Supreme Court, and corrupts everything. How do we have hope that we're going to be taken care of? It seems like he's just going to put his cronies everywhere, and we're going to be a fucking Russia. America will be Russia, just a different version of it. Is that true? No. How so? How is that not true? It seems pretty likely, given what's going on. Is he going to... Okay, I'm not getting answers, so I'm going to ask more specific questions. Is he going to die, like, mid-office? Nope. How the fuck old is this fucker going to live to be? How old can a fucking... What the fuck? Die already? Sorry. I'm just in dialogue over here, because that's how I feel about it. Is he going to live through his entire four years of... No. Okay. Is he going to succeed in putting in power everything he is trying to do? No. Who is going to make it so he doesn't? The good in humanity. I'm like, great. Who, though? Who? Who's going to stand for the good in humanity up in the political world of Washington? Who? Okay, and then they show me guys in suits, brown suits, couple good guys, who you'll see on the news coming up from the rear. Also, people in the Senate, and they show me AOC. Is that literally AOC? Yes. Is it also metaphorically AOC? Yes. So AOC and her cronies, her people, her team, there are forces of good at work. They're less loud and they're less public. They're working like ants building a colony behind the scenes. Remember, don't believe the loudest voice in the room. The loudest voice in the room is not always the truest. It's definitely not always the one that is serving the light. To which I say, yes, right, we get that. I get that. But like, can the people serving the light that are in those roles politically actually do anything? And they say, in the face of so much power and so much fucking corruption. And they show it to me like this. Picture the ants, all the people serving the light, and by the way, on both sides of the political spectrum, who don't want corruption at the end of the day. They are anting around the colony of Washington and beyond Washington, biting the metaphoric, like, you know how when you make an ant colony, you're building something. Think of these ants as like putting light into a structure that then collapses because there's no foundation. It's like termites. The termites of light in the political system are eating away at the wood of corruption that this person and his people are trying to instill and place in power. And they will have a profound and important effect. So we're not about to lose democracy? No.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
A clarifier. You said the thing about men in brown suits. Are those the state attorney generals who are filing suit against every action?
Yes. Also, yes, other people too. Also, who are the people we see on the cameras in the brown suits? Do you know more people, Cassidy?
I mean, there's, occasional senators and Congress people who are speaking up, but they are in the minority, so all they can do is talk. Because they can't mm-hmm. vote.
Why can't they vote?
Well, I mean, they can vote, but not enough. Well, like, literally at this point, until they get like 8 Republican senators or Congress people to say, yeah, this is fucked. We got to stop whatever's happening. You know, they can't. Uh-huh. Their votes can do nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so those guys too. Okay, so I have, thank you. Did that answer your question?
I just was curious when you said that.
Yes, those people and senators and other people. Yes. Yes to your question. Okay. And yes, and other people too. Okay, so while he's in office, he's going to die? Yes, that's like a big prediction. Well, sorry, it's true. Okay. Please make it be true so I don't feel like a dick later. Okay.
Are they going to throw Elon out of the building at some point?
And they're like, it's not about you. And I'm like, okay, sorry. Give me a second. All right. What are you asking?
I mean, a big part of what's happening is all the stuff with Elon Musk literally just going in and just grabbing money and moving it and taking it away from places with
no
authority. Are we going to, is he going to be thrown out or barred from action at some point since he's completely unelected and unapproved by the senator?
Is this a no? Yeah, that's a no.
That's too bad.
Okay, hold on. They're like, we don't want you to get too bogged down in very specifics, except for the ones we want to tell you about, because when you focus on the specifics of each little thing you're worried about, it amplifies your belief that you're fucked. So it's not useful to look at each specific. This is the problem of your media system and your media system in general, is that it fear mongers, but in very specific ways. So it goes, you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that, this specific person is going to do this terrible thing. And then each of you, in what it does is it, the darkness, you could say, gets a toehold in a nice individual specific thing for each person. And it's really succeeding at doing that right now. So then my follow-up question to that is, like, there's this spiritual idea that we people, humans, hear about a lot, which is like, just focus on the positive. And if you focus on the negative, you're like adding to it. No, that's incorrect. Okay, thank you. I thought so. Can you say more about that? You need to focus on what's possible and building what's possible. And there are lots of people doing that. It just doesn't seem like there are because of how loud everything is right now. Okay, I have more questions, but do you guys have more questions? Rami Cassidy?
I think a lot about all the people who believe the current administration's misinformation.
Right.
Is there any, and then some people on the left say, now they're going to see that this isn't helping them. You know, and I'm like, they're not going to see that. No, because there's always going to be spin.
Right.
And I know that we're going more and more tribal, but is there a world where any common truths come back into being?
You mean, is there a world where, can you say more about, because they're giving me a big fat no, but I think...
I wonder if the people who believe the right-wing rhetoric will ever see that they are not being served by people.
Okay, no. But no. And that assumes a lot too. They're saying that assumes they're wrong. And that here's the thing. Corruption is the problem, not and what's that word? And the lack of care for fellow humanity. But that's, what do you call it? Like, what's the word that means like compassion? Hate?
Oh.
Yeah, hate and separation and corruption are the problem, not the right wing per se, in terms of certain things they believe. However, there will be some unification around the, but not entirely, because you're dealing with a lot of the population who, to be honest with you, is incapable of nuance. They're not interested in nuance. They're interested in just being right. And so this is what we ask each of you to stay aware of, is do your best, even though this is hard, to stay in mercy and compassion in the heart rather than in the desperate need to be right. Now, this time in humanity's history is about kind of the burning off of ego through a big, angry ego battle. That is to say, you see in yourselves as individuals how, in order to change something, right, about yourself, you have to, ego has to die on that topic, and you have to surrender to a higher frequency. Or, do you understand? You with me?
Yeah.
They want me to pause here. Do you both understand?
Yes.
Okay. So you can say no if you don't understand.
I know.
Okay. So think about, you have a disagreement and your heart hurts in the disagreement. And the heart hurting is the place that makes you go to the higher frequency and that allows you to say, I'm sorry, or to make a new choice, or to stop hurting yourself or someone else or whatever. The ego of humanity is taking the shape of two sides of a two ego shapes that are going punch, 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 at least in your country, pretty strongly. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And you have to sometimes, two-year-olds who are just the id and the ego forming, right? That's this developmental stage of a human. You go through, I'm developing a me. Me is ego. They have to throw a fit in the corner until they tire themselves out and they just get so tired that they surrender and they do what mom says. So this is what's occurring now. Me, 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 fighting, 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 so that it can blow out. And what exists from the time of tribalism as a possibility is the possibility for real unity, which unfortunately you never had, as humanity never really had unity. You had the attempt at it from an ideology that said it would be better if we had it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there was so much pain that before humanity cared to try to be a unified front, that they were willing to act as if. This is just like how any individual changes and grows. First, you have to act as if you believe a new idea. Then you like believe it because you feel it in your heart, right? And then you just behave differently because your heart has shown you the truth. Similarly, humanity in your country, what you're seeing is two sides of the id and the ego, just like battling it out, battle, battle, battle. And eventually they're going to battle so hard that they burn themselves out and understand all that matters is to come from the heart. That is the opportunity here, but in a real way, not in a, well, World War II was hard. That was fucked up. We're all terrified. Let's just behave well. We're going to behave well. And some people think behave well means civil rights. And some people think behave well means just don't tell them you're in the Ku Klux Klan. And some people think behave well means, sure, government programs to help people. And some people think behave well means, and on and on and on. But this time has the capacity to change people, humanity, at the heart level. Sometimes you have to really hit bottom before you change. Really change, not act as if change. Hmm. As a collective, and we understand that as we say this, some of you go, we already got it. We already got it. We already changed. Okay, well, good for you. The rest of them didn't. So here we are. That's interesting. Another piece of fear I feel in the collective right now is like, we're going to, as Americans, lose our own, like, there's this, so many questions. Number one, like trans folks and gay folks and disenfranchised groups from the hegemonic white capitalists, whatever, are afraid they're going to lose all their rights. Is that the case? No. What? How so? Can you say more about that? Because I need to say more about that for people. Because they're just like, no. I'm like, yeah, but can you say more? Because it doesn't seem like it for people. And they're like, okay, we just talked about this, the ants and the light, and it's all crumbling, but they have to ego it out. It's all the same. Okay, I see. All right. It's all the same conversation. So that's an example of getting specific again and getting mired in the specifics of, but what about this? But what about that? Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm going to say one more. I'm sorry, but I am, which is, like, some of us are thinking we should leave this country because they could create, there's this whole idea that they're going to create, the oligarchs are going to create city, corporate city states where Zuckerberg owns California and whoever else owns other states. And then we won't own our own property. Is that like, they'll just commandeer our homes and be like, bye. Or like, you can keep paying us, but you'll, and they're like, no, no, no. Which part of that is no? All of it? Yes. So they're not going to succeed at creating corporate city states? No. Boy, that's hard for me right now to believe. No. 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 All right. Keep your eye at all times on your own life and your own heart and how each time you learn a new thing or get humbled by life, it comes with pain. Each time, we say it again, you get humbled in life. There's pain that teaches humility. Do you understand? You guys get it? They want me to pause. Rami and Cassidy, do you understand?
The words make sense. I mean, I understand the concept. I don't know
what?
That being a given doesn't land with me. Like, of course, that is the truth. And it's just like, yeah, that makes sense. I hear that. That's all. I'm just saying.
I spaced out for a second.
Okay, we're going to ask the question again. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Do you notice how in your life, every time you have to personally change something about how you're behaving with other people, that before you change it comes a painful piece of humility?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Okay. That now you understand, Cassidy, like that is a given. Yes.
Yeah. That lands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You sound like you still have hesitation. They're not letting me.
Okay. No, I'm still processing it, but it makes sense now. And in just the way you rephrased it slightly differently, and it's clearer now. So yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we'll give you an example. Let's say you, Cassidy, this is for you, Cassidy. Let's say you're leaving dirty dishes all over the kitchen and you live with other people like you have. And people are mad at you, but they don't say anything for a long time because they think, he'll stop doing it, or he must have just not noticed, or I don't want to have a conflict with him. So then eventually they go, hey, can you stop leaving the dirty dishes everywhere? That's disgusting. And you go, what's the problem? You defend it. Whatever, just their dishes. It's okay, I'll do them. What's your deal? That's defensiveness, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, somebody goes, you understand we can't use the dishes if you don't clean them. We don't have any dishes. You have robbed us of dishes. And you go, oh. And then you feel bad in your heart and you go, ow, I don't want to rob you of dishes. I'm so sorry. That painful humility in your heart is what we're naming here. It's like you recognize, oh, that's not nice to them. You with me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then you start to clean the dishes out of like, I now care that these other people have dishes. You're not just behaving, Cassidy. You're not just behaving well because it's the right thing to do and people will like you if you do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're actually changing what you believe and who you are at the heart level. Because from your heart, you actually feel bad that they don't have dishes. That's the painful humility we're talking about that creates change. Does that track?
Totally. I mean, that to me is kind of like when we legislate, legislate against racism. It doesn't change the heart of the current generation who's being told they can't say certain words. But the next generation, because the behavior was legislated, their hearts are changed because they came up differently.
Except they say, not always.
Right.
In fact, firm no to that.
Ah.
In other words, that's a nice democratic idea you have there that comes from smart, educated, democratic people who teach an idea like that because you want to believe that's the case.
But they don't actually change until they actually are changed.
That's right. In other words, you either show up as a baby and a child with the kind of heart where you already get that from your heart and you already are that. Or, like most humans, you have to go through things that are hard in your life to have the pain of humility created in your heart. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice idea that they just are born into a healthy democracy and then they... Blah, 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 blah. No, because what a human heart will do is take it for granted and become arrogant around that. And become prideful around that and be closed. Arrogance and pride create closed energies in the heart. So even a heart that is born in a whatever positive thing happened in a previous generation can easily and will be corrupted by the forces of the ego specifically. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Because, like you have, let's say, a young person who doesn't understand why the legislation was made even. And so they're just...
Right. Right. And they take it for granted. And then they're just mad when they don't get what they want anymore because it changed. Everyone as a human has to go through the painful death of the ego in the form of the humility you get when you realize you've caused harm to another. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how people understand we're all one, is that it has to hurt. It has to actually hurt. You all like to, or I should say, humanity likes to avoid hurt at all turns. Oh, that was painful, so I don't want that, you say. But pain, when you harm someone, the pain of harming them is what, through humility, softens your heart and changes your behavior, possibly, potentially, if you're willing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So without pain, you cannot grow. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So... humanity is in pain. and is fighting itself. Two parts of it. Fight, fight, fight. Angry, angry. I'm right, fighting, fighting. Guns and murder, all the things. So that it can cause enough pain to wake up to the absolute insanity of ever having done so in the first place. Once you realize, Cassidy, that you not doing the dishes isn't just about you not doing the dishes, it affects everyone in your house. And once you have care for everyone in your house, you don't want them to be unable to eat.
And to push that metaphor out, that you mentioned there's the defensive moment in that. And that's something I've definitely noticed when I'm approaching change, when I'm approaching sort of a crunch point of change, of ego change or of heart change, I get defensive first about the very thing that I'm about to get change about. You know, when I'm violently defensive, it's like, oh, that must be a thing that needs to shift. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the moment you're describing right now.
Right.
Like on a cultural level, like the massive defensiveness of don't tell us that to not that we have to use pronouns or whatever. Like, don't, like, it's defensiveness against all these things that are being, you know, heaped on but people.
Careful. Careful. The whole, I'm just listening.
Yeah.
Careful, because you got righteous right there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm aware of that too.
And that is, you are part of the whole ego death. You also.
Yeah.
When these political flip-flops happen, you each think, huh, phew, now we get to be right. This battle will never end, ever, until you really understand from your heart. Really, though, there's no separation. So you're still in the fight as a collective.
Yeah.
So let me put this another way. If humanity really learns from the time of tribalism, what humanity is will look so different, you won't recognize it. You will feel so different inside yourself. This conversation would be crazy because you will be such a different being. You don't understand, you meaning humanity, doesn't understand, the DNA level change that is occurring. This is, humanity is changing at a level that is, it's like, imagine a squirrel becomes a dolphin. Can you imagine that?
No.
That's pretty crazy, right? It's a big, stay with me. It's a big shift, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
A squirrel to a dolphin, they're not going to let us move forward unless they're like sure that you both of you people here really get each point I make. They like won't let me fucking talk. Okay? So we can't zoom out and we can't lose this. We have to try to get this if we can. If you saw a squirrel or 50,000 squirrels, all the squirrels in Central Park became dolphins, wouldn't that be shocking and incredible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Humans are going through a change that is that radical. So it's not a change back to something that worked before. And it's not a change to like, we all look how we look and act how we act, but we get it now. And we've just, now it's a better version of this. Humans are being altered at the DNA level, but the... You have to die to become a new thing.
Mm.
You can't. So when the squirrels become dolphins, there's no squirrels anymore. They're dolphins now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're alive during a difficult time because it's the time of the friction to pieces of sandpaper, or think of it this way, sandpaper rubbing up against skin. And it's going like this until the sandpaper is smooth, like the skin of dolphins. Dolphin skin is very smooth and shiny. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. But to, let's say the dolphin skin was felt like sandpaper. You would have to use a lot of other sandpaper to sand the dolphin skin down. And it would be screaming the whole time, the dolphin that you're sanding. Does that make sense?
Yeah. This is a terrible image and I hate it.
Well, welcome to, that's the point. And we'll come back to that. So then you have a dolphin with shiny, touchable skin. But it wasn't pretty to get there. Humans, we said this before, we'll say it again. Humans never want there to be pain on the road to growth. There is no such thing as growth. There is no such thing as change. Peacefully. Sorry, there isn't. There has to be death before there is rebirth. You are in a sandpaper time of something that is dying to become a better, bigger, more expansive, more conscious, more awake thing. And the thing we're talking about is humanity. What will happen is yet to be seen? No. What will happen, and these changes will occur, and it will not be comfortable for the mind and for the ego. So your best practice and your best choice would be to stay in the light of conscious awareness as much as possible. Okay, we got through that.
I know you're not looking at the screen, so I'm just going to tell you that Rami has been preparing to depart and is probably going to depart in the next 30 seconds.
Give me 1 second. All right, so you have to go. Do you have anything else you want to ask Rami? Go fast, because we can do it while you're gone if you want. Are you thinking?
I am. I think that I have questions, but they're not formed into words enough. So...
All right. Feel free to text them if they come to you. But before you go, no. Okay. You can, they're like, you can go. Sorry. Okay.
Part of this.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Have a good rehearsal.
Hello, everybody. I am taking today to do a little audio house cleaning. Since Rami is on the show, I'm going to use this opportunity to clean up their Rami's Rules folder. They gave me some right before All the Answers took a little hiatus, and I still have them. So these are Rami's Rules from July 2024. At the time of this recording that I'm speaking right now, I haven't listened to them. I don't know how outdated these rules are, but these are their thoughts from last summer. And you'll notice too that we're missing some music. Again, I'm going to do some house cleaning. We're missing some music in the episodes. Since All the Answers went on YouTube, I thought I had all the rights to all the music that I was using through the appropriate channels, but YouTube is much more stringent on checking those copyrights. So I don't believe I have stolen anything, but I have also, it's been difficult for me to dig up all of the legal documents I need to make YouTube satisfied that the music I'm using is good. So hopefully some music will start popping up in the next month or so as I get good, cleared, YouTube-safe audio. And send an email to allanswerspod, that's allanswerspod@gmail.com, and tell them how excited you are that they're back. Maybe throw some questions their way. They haven't actually talked about it, but I bet if they got a bunch of questions, they might do a user question episode. So audience participation is the shortest distance between less episodes and more episodes. Now enjoy these Rami's Rules.
What's up? It's Rami. So I am in a dreamy, multicultural hippie town in Southern Oregon, where the main industry is performing arts. Specifically the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, OSF, but also so much other performing too. It's wonderful. And it's a small town. And so it's got like small town pace and small town friendliness. Hello, hello, you know. But it also gets a constant influx of new faces because it is a tourist destination. And delightfully, the tourists who want to come here are people who like theater and literature. Also, it gets, they employ new actors every year. So, so it's a small town, but it's not, it doesn't get like insular as a result. It's also very progressive and totally a hippie town. And I'm loving that about it. And it's in a valley, and the valley is surrounded by hills. And what are in the hills of Oregon? White supremacists. Neo-Nazis are in these hills, you know? So it's a really interesting balance. OSF employs a lot of people of color, a lot of trans folks, queer folks, people with disabilities. And Oregon is maybe one of the most racist states in this country. It's written into the bylaws. Maybe some of you know that, maybe some of you don't. But yes, it is definitely a hub of the, you know, white supremacist movement in the United States. So that's interesting to be living this dreamy life right here, but also feel the pressure, the sort of unseen pressure that is close. A friend of mine who was here during the pandemic said that during that time, some of the white supremacists were like creating road blockages and stopping people of color. And he got stopped and, you know, he was pretty shaken up. And when he told his white neighbors who he was very friendly with about it, they didn't believe him, you know? And so there's like, you know, so it's very close and, you know, things are getting hot. There's an election coming up. And so anyway, yeah. What's that going to be like? Rami's rules. Hey, what's up? This is Rami. On the day that I'm recording this, I have just learned that yesterday, Bernice Johnson Regan transitioned. Bernice Johnson Regan was a huge celebrity in my life, though some people listening to this may not have heard of her. She was the founder of Sweet Honey and the Rock, an a cappella music group that is as old as I am. They were founded in 1973. Sweet Honey and the Rock is made up of all Black women who are historians, musicologists, freedom fighters, and their musical style in the group is as diverse as Black music in America is diverse, but their sound is always rich and powerful and deep. And I have learned so much history from listening to their music and just been moved to sing, moved to dance. Oh, they are such a huge part of my life. Sweet Honey and the Rock. Everyone go listen to some Sweet Honey and the Rock in honor of Bernice Johnson Regan. Rest in power. Good grief, as Wavy Gravy says. Rami's rules. Hey, what's up? It's Rami. I am cat and gerbil sitting right now for my upstairs neighbors in Ashland, where I am. They have two very sweet cats and 13 gerbils. The 13 gerbils are in two different cages because of politics. So Sparkle, the patriarch, lost a fight. And I guess in gerbil culture, they're supposed to eat him now or something. So anyway, they divided up the gerbils into the, like, I guess the pro-Sparkle contingent and the anti-Sparkle contingent. I'm not sure actually how they know which gerbils are on which side, but I could ask them, I guess, when they get back. Anyway, so yesterday when I went up there to feed them and stuff, you know, I fed the cats, I was petting them, and then I went to feed the gerbils and I was like, I should probably check on their water, just top it off. It needs topping off. Okay. This is the first time I have checked their water since I've been in charge of them. And their water bottle in each of the two enclosures was dry, dry. There was zero water in either bottle. And I was like, oh no. How long has this been this way? I mean, I think it's been that way since before they left town, you know. I have no idea how long, but it takes a while to get through one of those bottles. Even when it's 13 gerbils. So my heart started racing and I was like, oh my God, water emergency. And I filled them with water and I was like, I got to get more water to them. Anyway, I dropped a couple drops onto the floof, you know, the floof that makes up the floor of the cage. They put floof in it. Well, I don't know what that stuff is. Anyway, and the gerbils are like sucking the moist floof. They're so thirsty. They were parched. And I put the bottle into, I tried to put it back into its holder, but they were so desperate for water. All right. You know, it's a bottle. It hangs upside down. It's got a little metal attachment on the end that they lick the attachment and drops of water come out. I think everyone's familiar with like hamster cages and stuff. Anyway. Okay. So I'm holding the bottle in the cage and they are just like desperate for it. There's like four little gerbil mouths all licking the little metal tip at the same time with their cute little hands all holding it. Oh, it was very cute and very sad. And my heart was just like, oh God, I hope none of them died. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to count them because they're always moving around. So I just hope that none of them died from lack of water and that there isn't like a dead gerbil under the floof in one of the nests. Anyway, I think that they're all okay. So now I've been checking the bottle and yeah, it didn't go down too much because it does take a while to empty those bottles. Good Lord. Who knows how long they were without water? It's not my fault. Ah, anyway, everything's fine. The gerbils now have regular water. Cats are fine. Rummy's rules.
All right. Well, I'm like, is there more to say? And they say no.
I'll just ask it sort of a more of a, is it worth asking this question? Or is there anything to be gained from sort of exploring? That's awesome. I get that there's this large scale shift occurring. And is there anything that we need to know about the, you know, sort of the today 3D? How do we, or let's just say the listeners of this particular podcast, if it's just those people who will hear this, how do we best proceed? Like, what do we do with ourselves?
They're saying we've already stated that, and that is stay as connected to higher consciousness as possible.
Okay.
So meditate, drop your ego, get to humility faster, notice your defenses, let them die. Die sooner than humanity as a whole is willing to die. Let the ego that you think you are die through the pain of humility faster, and you'll be contributing to the collective having an easier time doing so. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. When you can be an example to other people in your life of what it looks like to function from open-hearted humility. Oh, I'm sorry, you are hurting. I will do different things on whatever topic that's on. When you can be a living example of that in a real way, not just in a performative way, but in a real way where your heart feels it and it's actually different. And we're speaking to all of you now. This is not just for you, Cass. You become the inspiration for everyone else to possibly walk into that. Here's one place where the people on the left are often missing the way that the people on the right, as you call it, are actually quite evolved. Here's one way you miss it. A lot of the people on the right are really into this Jesus idea, into religion, right? And you see it as this like sheep herd mentality, small-mindedness. But the thing they have that some of you could really use more of is, but you get to it in your own ways, by the way. It's just don't misunderstand what they're doing at their churches. Some of them are doing all the stupid shit you think they're doing, but a lot of them are really just learning about humility. This is what churches that function correctly teach people. Hey, love your brother as yourself. Like, it hurts when you hurt someone, right? don't do that because it hurts everybody. Feel the pain of that. That's what we call a sin. That's what the real definition of sin was supposed to be. When you hurt your fellow man in any way, shape, or form, you create separation and it hurts your heart. That's all sin is. It's not a thing that takes you to hell. Hell is the life you live when you're harming others. That's hell. Hell on earth is the only hell there is that's relevant to your here and now. To harm another creates closed walls, arrogance creates whatever. It creates separation and then you're in pain. Now, what's hard is a lot of the humans are not far enough along on the path of actual spiritual development to even have contact with that pain inside themselves. So you look at some of your political leaders, right? They don't have any, they're not actually, quote, quote, going to church, right? They perform going to church to gain power and control. But if they were really going to church, they wouldn't behave the way they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you were going to say.
This person just keeps coming up for me.
Yeah.
And then you just reintroduce them in my head. So I feel like I am being called to talk about him. And that is, he's sort of a stand-in cipher for me. My a very close friend of mine's father, who mm-hmm. is one of the people that I think of as actually, you know, believing in Jesus as a inspiration. You know, one time someone asked him, what matters to you? Or what are you into? And he goes, Jesus Christ and bolo ties, which is hilarious because he collects bolo ties. And I believe that. And like, in a conversation with him once, he was just talking about, oh man, I mean, that's what the love of Christ is, what like really brings me back to. And so I really believe that in a really deep way. So I believe that this person is truly connected to the sort of Christ consciousness, right? Or to Christ as a religion. And he's the most, you know, like super religious person that I know and love. I love him. He is he is my friend's father. You know, I have a relationship. And yet, I assumed coming up on this last election that he actually wouldn't be that Trumpy because he's truly Christian, right?
Right.
And believes in the principles of Christ. No, mm-hmm. not true at all. Totally, 100%. Trump's this, Trump's that. He's doing the thing. He's border this, all the things. And so where I'm struggling is like, cool, but literally taking money out of food, out of the mouths of children, literally like taking these actions that, and living a life that is as publicly anti-Christ, and I don't mean anti-Christ, but anti-Christ as you could possibly imagine in my understanding. So, and I'm saying all this to say, this is also relevant to that right, wrong thing. I'm struggling with, I'm having arguments with him in my head and I'm realizing, okay, I need him to say that he was wrong. And that's a problem. That I'm thinking that. I'm like, okay, great. So I need to address that in myself. And yet I'm still struggling with this idea of like,
why? You call yourself a Christian.
How do you still? And now you just got more information that says, no, he is not operating by those principles. In fact, he is operating in direct contrast to those principles as I understand them. So that's where I get really like, what's going on?
So your question is, they always want me to do things in the form of a...
That's a really good point. I don't know. My question is, what's up with... No. What?
Okay, so the bottom line is it's quite simple, and you already probably know this. The people who act against the care and the needs of others are not true Christians,
right?
In terms of their behavior, and so, but when they act that way, on either side of a political spectrum, okay, when anyone acts that way, they don't understand that that's what they're doing. They think that what they're doing is contributing to the welfare of people. So they have a misunderstanding. So in other words, people get very, this is going to help my family and my neighbors. They forget about, the big family of humanity and the neighbors of humanity. Like Mexico is our neighbor, you know. Yeah. They don't think about that. They see it as a threat to their close-knit neighbors and family.
Yeah.
So it's short-sightedness. They're missing the point. That's not Christianity for real. The end. They misunderstand it. You know, Sidi Al-Jamal was Katie's Sufi guide, master, perfected master. He used to talk about, he would come to the States from Jerusalem, this holy man. And when he would walk in the room, their heads would bow despite them. And people, everyone in the room would sob because his light was so powerful that your darkness would be burning off your heart. The moment the guy walked in the room, didn't have to say a word. Incredible, perfected master in form. Wow. He used to teach, he said, the people who, the Muslims, he would say, understand their religion the least. And we would say, what do you mean? And he would say, they read my book, they read the Quran, and they behave correctly, and then they get righteous about how correct they're behaving. That is not what the book says. The book says, love your brother as yourself. Unity is the only thing. Love is the only thing. Allah is the oneness, oneness and oneness. But religious folks use the rightness of their way to oneness to create separation. That's the opposite of the point. And he's like, so what's dangerous on the spiritual path, and he taught this quite directly, is be careful at every stage of the path that you develop, you will be tempted to be quite righteous. At each stage. And in Sufism, they talk about states and stations of the heart. So your heart, as it develops spiritually, reaches these higher stations. A station is where you've included more spiritual love and light and conscious awareness and unity, oneness, whatever. And then you anchor at a station. And then to grow to the next place is a whole new thing. Okay. But once you're at a certain station, you can't go backwards. You don't become less aware once you really anchor at a station. Okay. The problem with anchoring at a station is every station you anchor at in the heart is a place where you go, see, look at me, anchored in this evolved station. See how evolved and anchored I am in the third station of the heart? And Allah says there's 90 million stations of the heart. Keep going, bitch. It doesn't say you did it and you're now superior, but that's what a human ego does. Mm-hmm. So that's what they do. They take the religion and the teachings at the heart of it, and they make themselves right to defend against someone else who's wrong. And there you have it. So it's just ego taking hold at a different station. In other words, let's say this differently. Some of the man you're speaking of, you know, he has entered the first station of the nafs. He's been awakened to the light of Christ. Hooray! Now it's time to grow again.
Yeah.
But he's so happy with his anchoring in that station, and he's so proud of himself that he thinks that's the end of the work. And they're reminding me of this too. They're like, careful too for yourself, because you're at whatever station you're at, but you're not done. There's always work to do. And so just remain humble and open always, every minute. Because you can be righteous anywhere, at any station. So that's all it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting just to have him be this sort of stand-in cipher to have arguments with in my head. And mm-hmm. I don't want them to be arguments. I actually would like them to be discussions, you know?
Yeah.
Let's really, help me understand this. Help me understand this. I don't understand this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to remember, if you're trying to speak to someone at a third station of the NAFS consciousness level, but they are at the first station of the NAFS, it's very hard to get them to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go through their own individual trial by fire. They have to do something that causes harm to another such that they wake up and realize it. And you yelling at them is definitely not going to be that moment.
Yeah, no.
It's just another moment for them to defend against. So I think this is me now. I'd like to ask, what can we do to create more collective moments for more people on earth, for their heart to be shattered open by the pain of separation so they become willing to be humble and connected again.
They go, nothing.
They got to do it themselves.
Well, because the friction is happening. The sandpaper of each side is rubbing. It's rubbing, rubbing, rubbing. So it has to rub until it's done. It's happening. It's happening. Yeah. You think you have to do a thing to make it happen. And consciousness is moving things forward, whether you like it or not. So the rub has to happen to break the heart open. So the rub is happening. So just keep your heart open so you don't have to get rubbed. Does that make sense?
Keep your heart open so you don't have to get rubbed. Oh, so you can, in a sense, I don't know, protect is maybe the wrong word, but you can, in a sense, protect yourself from some of the pain of the friction by doing your spiritual work that keeps you safer, or more open.
Open-hearted.
Yeah. That it's actually, even though being open opens you up to more pain, which is what you need to have in order to grow.
Correct.
Yep. If you need to grow, I'm just following this train out as it's coming to me. But also being more open is a way of actually both increasing the possibility of suffering, but also alleviating your suffering.
Remember, humanity is addicted to not having pain.
Uh-huh. 100%.
That's an addiction you have. You have it. Yes, you have to open your heart and open to more pain. Yes. Because that pain is the correct pain humans are built to have.
Yeah.
Yes. So what we're saying is stay open more, even through the hard rub time, so that you don't have to get lessons in your own path that are very, very hard. You can have gentler lessons because you're part of the rub. You each like to think of yourselves as separate from being part of the breakdown, but you're all part of it. It's all happening to all of you. The ego is dying, the ego of the collective. So that's a big job. And it's going to be a long, long, long journey. Oh. So stay as open, do your spiritual work, face your defenses, soften them, become open more and more and more. So that while the collective is going through its own version of that, you don't have to have a big, terrible version of the awakening. You can have a tolerable one because you're already doing the work. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we have to stop here.
Yep.
They still tell me there's not going to be a war. All right. I'm going to stop. Any last things, Cass, before I just close the records here?
No. It just, okay. It just reminded me of a line in my play, and that's all. And I can tell.
What is it?
And it's actually about scientists, but it's the same thing because we are scientists of the soul. If we didn't get so much wrong, then we would never learn. And that's what makes a great scientist, the ability to fail and learn and change and grow.
That's good. Exactly. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. See you return all of humanity's energy to itself. Return humanity to its complete human wholeness. The divine portal and the Akashic records of humanity are now closed. Amen. Divine portal and the Akashic records of humanity are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of humanity are now closed. Amen. 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 Shadow and Layla, Halala, Shadow and Muhammad of Duhura, Sulallah, Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That happened.
That happened. How are you feeling?
Better than I thought I would. They really made it gentle on me. That was cool.
That felt gentle. It didn't feel as sort of jarring and horrifying as was expected.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember that time we went into the records of humanity before on here. It was really intense for me.
Yeah, and maybe for you. Sobbing and wailing and feeling the collective weight of colonialism and
that's right.
It was a lot. A little more like, yeah, it sucks. Keep going.
Well, and they were like, well, you asked, and so we can support you. If you ask for help, we'll support you. I'm like, okay. That seems very simple now. Nice. Okay, well, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, and we will see you again soon. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Have a great day.
You too. Love you. Do your
work.
Love you too. Keep doing it.
Let's all do it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Input is what's coming in. What sound is coming in?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.